Cheers and welcome to On Tap Brewers, the show that takes you behind the scenes of the craft beer industry. Today we are hanging out at The Beer Shop in Yakima, Washington. You can follow these guys at The Beer Shop on Facebook and The Beer Shop Yakima. Yakima on Instagram. Jeff, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Yeah. Again, just like we always do, we got a flight of beers and I kind of let him pick out a few that he might have some stories or something that has to do with The Beer Shop that's kind of special to him. So kind of what I like to do starting out the show is just if people have never been here, kind of just give them like a bird's eye view of what The Beer Shop is, what to expect when they come here.
It is a laid back place to get to know beer. Mm-hmm. We do everything singles by the bottle. So it's we encourage education about beer. Okay. We sample out everything we have on draft. We just like everybody to experience beer, mm-hmm. experience a style they never had. Rather than picking up a six pack of beer that you've never had, that you're not sure of, you can just grab one. And so our whole thing was basically bringing craft beer to Yakima and, educating people mm-hmm. about the difference of beer, not just Budweiser, Coors. Right. There's more.
Right. More out there. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You said it's laid back. That's one thing that I see rings home true is, there's people doing homework here. It's just very chill. It's not like a bar scene.
No, you come back to the back half, you can watch TV, listen to music, front half's nice and quiet for mm-hmm. conversations and just relaxing.
Very cool. Yep. Yeah. Awesome. So where do you want to start here?
We can start with the Cram Coffee Porter.
Okay. Porter.
It is from Postdoc Brewing over in Redmond.
Okay.
What's unique about this one is one of the cask beers that we do.
Okay.
And so...
Yeah, you guys do cask, one of the only places...
Yep, one of the only ones around that do traditional cask. Next closest one's probably Machine House over in Seattle, Georgetown.
Okay.
There's a lot of pseudo stuff out there, you know, but we actually have the legit real setup in the basement, so...
What does that mean?
Basically, it's a live product, live beer, and it's naturally fermentation, we can say this, can we?
Right.
It's naturally fermented in the pin itself, in the cooperage, and it's served warmer. Since it's naturally carbonated, you don't have that bite from CO2.
Uh-huh, real bubbly.
It's served at about 52 degrees, so it's definitely warmer. We had a guy that used to work here. He's moved back east now. His name is Tony. And he's an English gentleman, and he set up everything. He's big into cask and approached me one day and asked if I'd be interested, and I said, yeah. So we got our first beer engine from Bob's Keg and Cork when they closed. And that's where the first one came for, and then we ended up purchasing two more, and just...
So when there's not a whole lot of people selling it. Is it hard to, like, get a hold of?
Or? It's a little bit more difficult than mm-hmm. normal beer. We make treks over to the west side of the state a lot. Mm-hmm. We deal with Machine House Brewing, Postdoc, North Sound Brewing up in Mount Vernon. Mm. Ancestry, they're south of Portland. They're starting to deal with us. We've had a couple of their stuff on that's gone over really well. Mm-hmm. And within the next, I'm thinking 2 weeks, we should be getting some cask from Varietal.
Oh, really?
Sunnyside.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know they are interested in doing those type of beers.
Yeah. So
why would a brewery want to make a cask beer?
It's the traditional old way. Mm-hmm. This is what you will get over in England. And this is just the way it was done. And it's a little bit more popular back east, but West Coast is all about the hops and the, the fizz of the beer and things like that. But the cask, it's definitely different and unique. And so that's our motto, is definitely different and unique around here. So it kind of went hand in hand for us.
Yeah, so it was a no-brainer to you when it came to you?
Yep.
Like, we're doing that?
Yep, we're doing it.
Was it expensive to put in? I guess it seems not fickle, but
it was a little bit of upfront cost because we had to completely build a cellar downstairs for the refrigeration and then the lines and the beer engines and mm-hmm. the setup. But Tony, he was the man and he took care of everything. So
yeah. How did he walk you through that process? Like, I mean, clearly he knows what it means to do this operation correctly.
And I trusted him and I know him and I just went along with it.
Okay.
And I knew it would be good in the end, no matter, what the cost is. And it's gone over it's gone over great. We definitely have a following that just comes in for cast.
Really?
Whatever's on cast.
That's awesome.
Yep.
That's
yep,
very
cool. Yep.
And it like pumps out.
Yep. Yep. Hand drawn, no CO2.
Yeah.
We do use a cask breather, which what it does is it puts a little pillow of CO2 on just to keep the beer fresh. Most pins, like in England, whatnot, you tap them, you have about 3 days.
Wow.
And the beer's done. It's changing. It's always evolving once you tap it.
Uh-huh.
And with us, to give us a little bit more life on it, we have the cask breather, and we get about 12 days out of it.
12 days. How big are the...
We use pins. They come in firkins, which are about 15 gallons, and pins. They're about 5.5 gallons. We do pins just so we can rotate through and have a nice variety.
Ah, very cool.
So rather than having one beer on for
a long time,
yeah. So it helps our rotation out.
That's fun.
So yeah.
So come in, there's something always new there.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So before, I mean, you got to this location, and before you started doing cask beer, you're getting things off the ground off of Knob Hill there.
Yep.
You kind of
want
to talk about what started, it was like moving there.
Yeah, started in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of not a lot going on in Yakima at the time for beer. It was about 2 years after Grants closed, stopped production. And about 2 years before Yakima Craft came along. And they were the first, they came along in 2008, I believe. And they were the first craft beer around here.
Right.
But other than that, you know, you had the supermarkets, what was in the supermarkets.
Right.
And that's when, you know, kind of not childhood dream, high school dream of having a supermarket full of beer.
Right.
And there was a bottle shop over in Seattle that was kind of what I was looking for. And just beers from all over, stuff you've never seen.
Right, yeah.
And so I had a partner for the first about 2 years. And him and I, we decided to take the leap and make it work. And,
yeah.
And luckily we had some distributors around here that would have been great to work with. One, Lynch Distributing, they're no longer around, but they were the ones that really got me started in all of the really oddball stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, which helped out a lot, but.
Yeah. Do they just have like a catalog and then you just kind of start picking
basically,
through it?
Yep. Yeah. And I had some guidance,
what was that like? Just, wow, look at all the stuff that I had access
and
to.
And you want it all.
Yeah.
And it's tough to say no. And
yeah.
I'll always try a beer either on draft or in cans once in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, been burned a few times. That hasn't been overly popular. But, no, it's, they're basically big catalogs. And depends on what's in season, what's available in the warehouse. And I've had a couple good salesmen in the very beginning really kind of guide me through.
Yeah.
Where I'm thinking, well, I need 4 or 5 cases of this. He goes, no, you need 2 6-packs to begin with, just because they're expensive and they sell them by, since we sell everything by the bottle here, you know, it was kind of just made for us. It worked out well.
Hmm.
But yeah, it's just a lot of beer out there.
Yeah. Was reception just right off the bat? Like a growing period?
We did. There was some growing period. Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, from day one, we kept adding and adding and adding.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted, if I could get a brewery, I wanted their entire lineup.
Yeah.
Now, as time's gone on, I realize that can't happen because there's some beers in a lineup that don't sell. Some sell better than others. So it's taken a long time, but we've finally fine-tuned it.
Mm-hmm.
We were at one point, I think, around 600 beers.
Wow.
But then again, it's not a lot of good if it sits around and doesn't sell.
Right. Yeah.
So it's easier to, you know, trim and fine tune and get that nice balance on what really sells.
Yeah.
Cool.
So what was the beer shop? I mean, I wasn't old enough to go to the beer shop at that point. What was it like compared to what it is now?
It was a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
It was not pretty. Not pretty. It was an old Radio Shack. And
I had a lot of companies going in and out of that place, from what I remember.
Yeah,
it was Ted Brown's at one point.
Yep. Ted Brown's was there. It was Radio Shack before that. And then we came along. We were there for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hole in the wall, but it was a place to start, to get our feet wet. Compared to this place is a dream come true. It's worked out well for us here. We enjoy being downtown, get a lot of traffic from people getting off work.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to add tables, seating, bar, and everything else, which has helped.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What's the next beer you got?
Next beer is going to be one of the ones we should be getting cask from soon is a varietal down in Sunnyside.
Okay, cool.
This is their Weed Wolf. And
so how is this kind of related?
This is kind of special because two of my former employees here, John Cope and Chad Roberts, they're one of couple co-owners of Varietal.
Oh wow.
So it means it's nice to see. It's neat to see them starting out, just, you know,
yeah.
Also just learning about beer. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes on, their knowledge gets more and more. And John's helped us out with all of our signs and stuff here.
Yeah.
Computer programs for that. Chad left here and he was actually the brewer down at Snipes Mountains. Mm. Down in Sunnyside for a while.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh,
and then, cool. Yeah. And so,
they just come in and they were just bartenders, or?
Yep.
Very cool.
They stock shelves. They put away orders. Chad was in fact with us at the old location, so he's been with us, was with us for quite a while. Hmm. So no, it's kind of sentimental that, you know, these guys went from here to actually owning their own brewery,
right,
which is neat to see.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
That's, you know, that's kind of that education that, you know, what kind of came. I don't want to say from this place, but from getting to know beer,
right,
and expanding that.
Yeah, so with that being really, kind of your goal,
to
learn about beer and stuff.
Yeah,
very cool. Yeah, I love what Varietal's doing.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch online.
Yep, they have a nice place down there, and yeah, no, it's really nice.
Cool, so you moved from Knob Hill to this building.
To this building.
You said you got tables and chairs, and people can hang out now.
Yeah.
What did that do, like, for the business?
It really helped out. It actually saved our business. 2 months after we moved out of that place, there was a big windstorm and it ripped the roof off the building.
Wow.
And so if we would have stayed, we would have been done. Wow. So it was meant to be. So we've just enjoyed being here and it's opened it up. People can come in and just hang out. We had one rickety old picnic table at that old place and it was not good.
Yeah, and you didn't do any pouring.
We did a little bit near the end. We were doing growler fills, and that was back at a time where no one really even knew what growler fills were back then.
Yeah.
It's one of the things one of my salesmen pushed me into. He goes, "No, you can do it. You can do it." Mm-hmm. Liquor control board as well. We don't know if you can do it, but the way we interpreted the law, we could do it, so we did it.
Wow.
But that's
is that
that's
a little nerve wracking.
Yeah. They're
you're like,
fun
we're
to
doing
deal
it.
With. Yeah, they're just stay below the radar and don't make a scene. We started out just bottles over there, then doing the growlers and started with 4-tap fridge, the green one back there. And then we added one more. And with the laws, you can only do 2-ounce samples, 4 2-ounce samples. Mm-hmm. And our whole thing with educating people, we had to change our license in order to keep sampling.
To be able to sample.
Yeah, sample more.
Yeah.
And then which led into pouring pints for everybody. And we did a few pints over there, but we just didn't have the room.
Right.
And so.
So, I mean, going from the old place off Knob Hill, only doing bottles and such, when you got to be able to order kegs, when you're doing a ton of beer, did it just even open up even more with
it really options? Did. It really did. And we just kept adding taps, too, because I wanted more and more variety. Mm-hmm. And it's great. You know, we always have a dark beer on. We always have IPAs. We always have light beers. We tend to always have a sour on. So this way we can have as much variety. And again, going back to the education, you know, just come in and sample something.
Right.
You know, if you come in and say you like a Corona, I guarantee you I can find you something around here, you know, that you'll like. Or if you like a Blue Moon, I can find something similar to Blue Moon, but
I've never heard of
craft. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of like the goal with your tap list on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Be able to do that.
Keep it a wide variety for people. Mm. So. Yeah. There's some people that come in and just strictly look for the green section for IPAs. Mm-hmm. They won't look anywhere else. They'll just look in their group that they always look at, which is fine. Right. Other people.
And I'm guilty of doing that too. And I'm trying to, you know, branch out.
Too.
I realize
that
I'm like, I'm always grabbing like a hoppy.
I do. I'm either that or some lighter stuff.
Right.
I do enjoy a big barrel-aged stout, usually when it's a little cooler.
Right, yeah, I'm the same
It's
way.
A little hard for me. I know that we have a lot of people right now. We have a Wild Turkey Stout on. And we got people come in just have a nice big barrel-aged beer.
Stout, yeah.
Not necessary for me this time
right,
of year.
Right, too hot.
But, you know, and that's why we keep it out there. So keep
Is it really seasonal? or not as much as you would think? Because I'm very seasonal when I
brew beer. Yeah, I'm seasonal too. Yeah, I'm definitely seasonal. Mm-hmm.
So with being able, I mean, the availability of what you were able to get, mm-hmm. when you started doing, you know, actual pours and stuff like that, is that just because a lot of people just aren't bottling beer and then...
Yeah, there's it depends on the size of the brewery. There's a mm-hmm. lot of breweries that will do draft only.
Right, because there's the manufacturing so much.
Yeah, and then they're just, they don't have enough money to put in that bottling line or canning line. So they'll just do draft only. And a lot of them just do regional distribution.
Mm-hmm. So with that, how far out can you
go? It depends. Well, and I thought,
when you're looking for a new beer.
Well, that's the thing. Originally, I thought I could get about anything. Then I had to realize the brewery has to be big enough to make enough to distribute far enough.
Right. Yeah.
And then it has to be licensed to be sold in the state of Washington. And then with our liquor laws, I have to buy from a distributor or directly from a brewery. Mm-hmm. So if they're not real big, they're not going to get too far.
Right.
You know, there are some big breweries, Dogfish Head, things like that, that we'll get, and they're based back in East Coast.
They're huge. Right.
Yeah. They're huge.
Right.
There's others that'll do regions. I found a lot of people or a lot of breweries, if they're on the East Coast, they go to the Mississippi. If they're around the Midwest, they'll go to the Rockies. Hmm. And so, like Yinglings. Yinglings is monstrous back east. But basically, if you're not touching, it's their local lager.
Yeah.
But if you're not on basically touching the Atlantic, you can't get it anymore. Hmm. So yeah, if depends on how big they are. Depends how far they go. So there'll be some breweries, you know, they might be monstrous, but they stick to their own territory.
Right.
A lot of breweries now popping up. There's 100 over in Seattle, it seems like. And they're getting to be neighborhood breweries or just mm-hmm. very small regional.
Yeah, very small.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's a ton of stuff that's over on the west side that I just can't get over here because it doesn't make it over here. Mm-hmm. So it gets a little frustrating that way. But, you know, I'd like to get everything in. There's a lot of things I try to get, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember coming in early years and I heard about this brewery and I forget the name, but in New York, they, I guess, had a really good IPA. And I asked you and you're just like, just mm-hmm. doesn't work that way.
Yeah,
and that's when it first dawned on me. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So it gets a little, it gets a little frustrating that way, but it's still neat seeing so many breweries out now. Mm-hmm. That just the variety out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. What's
this
the
last one is another little local brewery in town, Wandering Hop, which their owner, brewer Nathan, he used to come in here and, you know, drop off samples and mm-hmm. he'd home brew in his garage and drop off samples. Well, what do you think?
Right.
What do you think? And finally fine tuning things. And so it's another, you know, neat story to see that, you know, one of our customers, good friend. His wife worked for me for years, so I've known her forever, known him, and it's nice seeing that, you know, once again, just
you're kind of like an outlet for
it's funny. And he had his release party here, mm-hmm. Which went over great.
Yeah,
and so
he's a cool guy. We hung out with him. How much would he bring in, just like
he'd bring in a growler or two and we'd taste them and then another couple weeks he'd bring in some more and we'd taste them.
You just kind of hand it out at that point?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit behind, you know, behind closed doors.
That's cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was talking about how it was hard, like, you know, he'd tell his friends, hey, what do you think? And of course it's free beer and they were like,
it's great.
But this was
an avenue for him
to actually get feedback.
Get feedback, so.
Real.
Yeah.
Huh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's worked out well for him, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the last beer. Kind of just going into some fun stuff, mm-hmm. you know, being in the industry and stuff like that. You guys do, like, taproom takeovers and stuff like that?
Yeah, we do taproom takeovers.
Anything crazy happen during those? Or
our biggest one ever, which was, I have pictures of it too, when Bailbreaker. Mm-hmm. had their very first one here, their very first release party. This place was just packed wall-to-wall people.
Yeah.
By the end of the night, we couldn't keep up washing glasses quick enough. end of the night, we had piles of glasses all over the bar.
Oh, geez.
And that was our probably most crazy, out of control one we've had.
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah, so many people here. And
that's awesome.
It was just a great, great launch for those guys. So
very cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you, with like Fresh Hop, do you do anything with Fresh Hop?
Yeah,
Festival?
We do. We've done it for probably 8 years, mm-hmm. 8 years or so now. We do kind of a little Fresh Hop preview night. Mm-hmm. And so we talk to a lot of our distributors or straight from the brewery and get everything lined up. And we do just a tasting night because there's so much at Fresh Hop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't have it all at Fresh Hop. So it's like, come the night before, mm-hmm. try these, mark them off your list. And then, you know, and that's what we've been doing for a number of years, and it's worked out well.
Do the people that kind of run Fresh Hop bring in the cakes and stuff? Is it all
no,
them,
no, we do it all local, or I have some great great distributors I work with and great breweries. I know when Freem comes up from Hood River, past few years, he'll personally bring up a keg for us.
Oh, wow.
So it's been, we got good relationships with those guys.
Yeah.
And Fremont does the same thing.
Cool.
So yeah, no, it's a fun night though. That's mm-hmm. an annual event we do, and yeah. we usually don't know what's going on until about 2 days before. Mm-hmm. By the time you can actually guarantee everything's going to be in,
right? Yeah,
but
so a lot of people do experimentals and
yeah, a lot of experimentals.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll get what we can. We take and usually out of our 23 taps, mm-hmm. we usually have about 18.
That's cool.
18 to 20.
Yeah. And I love Yakima around
yeah.
Fresh Hop.
Oh, yeah. It's
doing
a lot
stuff.
Of fun.
It's
a lot
fun.
Of fun. Yeah.
Every day throughout the week, it's
yep.
somewhere else.
Something's
different.
Going on somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's just gotten bigger every year. And it's a fun time.
So working on this side of the industry, so we're talking to brewers a lot of the
yep.
time. What did you not expect about this industry and maybe how it developed as you were around longer and beer around Yakima kind of developed more and more? What did you not expect? You know,
I'm honestly surprised it took so long in this area
yeah.
for breweries.
Yeah, just because the hops and stuff?
Yeah, for being in the area we are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was because it would have been Yakima Craft first in 08, and I want to say Bailbreaker was the next, and that was like 2012 or 13. Mm-hmm. So, but in all that time, other than your grants before that, but it's kind of surprising that not more breweries.
Yeah.
Not like Bend or something like that, where you have massive amount of breweries.
Right.
Especially for where we are. Yeah. It's kind of surprising it took so long. I don't think it's over. I think Yakima will still see another handful of breweries pop up. Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah. It's
just
exciting.
How long it took.
Yeah, how long it took.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, with you starting the beer shop way
yeah.
back in the day was, I mean, I might have been too young, but Yakima wasn't known as like hops.
No, it wasn't.
Really
not at all.
Up.
No, Yakima got known for hops probably about really 6-7 years ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. If that. And now.
Yeah, it was just wine.
Yeah,
and then
it's just wine.
It's, yeah.
And then, yeah, you don't realize how much hops, you know, 70 something percent of the world's hops come from here. And, mm-hmm. and everybody's, meh, okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
But, so, and you just knew that when starting up, was that like a...
No, it was a lot of education for me,
yeah.
too. I just wanted more beer around me so I could try.
Try more stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
That, you know, I'm
totally selfish
there.
Reasons. Yeah.
yeah. But no, and as time has gone on, you know, I still, you know, it's funny seeing how the styles have changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, going from, it was IPAs, then Imperial IPAs. And then black IPAs, mm-hmm. then session IPAs,
that's
then
cool.
New England height. No, the sessions
yeah.
were the lower ABVs.
Uh-huh.
Then the New Englands, then the hazy, the milkshake IPAs,
mm-hmm.
the brute IPAs were in there too. So it's fun seeing everything change like that.
Yeah,
and it's
sure.
it's kind of interesting seeing some styles kind of dial back. We used to get a lot more porters in. We don't get a lot of porters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people make them. It's fun seeing that though, the different changes over time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for opening this place up.
No problem. I've loved it. It's been a ride. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, as far as education goes, I mean, when I turned 21, I was pretty much just a Hefeweizen guy or just a lager. And then I started coming here and started frequent this place a lot more because I did not like the beer scene.
Yeah.
It was just not, wasn't my speed or style. And this place totally was. So we frequent here a lot. And it really broadened my scope of what could beer, you know, could be outside of what you find in just big
boxes. It's a lot. Yeah, it's the whole thing. It doesn't have to be a bitter beer or anything. Some people, I don't like craft beer because it's bitter. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it doesn't have to be.
You know,
I'll find something for you.
Yeah,
guarantee it. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah.
So personally, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome
for enlightening me. Do you want to say anything to the camera? Do you want to like? Welcome people down.
Welcome. Yeah, come on down. Have some fun. We will educate you. You can sample. And it's a fun place to just hang out and relax.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. If you guys can like, subscribe, if you aren't already, leave a comment below on what you maybe thought about what we discussed. Would be awesome. Anything can help at this point. Thanks for checking out On Tap Brewers, and we'll check you next time.